Well, how's everybody doing? I talk a lot louder than I pray, sorry. You should be doing super, right? Super. I mean, after all, take a look at this. We now know, you now know, that you are a superhero. That you have superpowers, spiritual gifts that specially and specifically equip you to serve God and to strengthen your fellow supers. And finally, you now know you have a super suit, the full armor of God, that protects you and prepares you for anything the enemy has for you. But even though we're all supers with superpowers and a super suit, we still lack one thing. I mean, what does every superhero need? I mean, imagine you woke up this morning and discovered that you're faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, can leap tall buildings in a single bound. And you even have a special suit that can protect you from bullets, bombs, and everything. So now what? Get out of bed, you're wearing a silly suit, and you got nothing to do. You need a super mission. And you have a super mission. Who remembers what Superman's mission was? He fought a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. Right? So what is your super mission? I would argue that your super mission is not unlike the Incredibles' super mission. Except that it's even more incredible. And it's not fantasy. It's reality. Your super mission is to save the world. Seriously. I'm dead serious. It's the same mission Jesus had. Listen to what Jesus said his mission was. His reason he came to earth. In Luke 19:10, he said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." There are two things I want us to see about Jesus' mission. First, it was about people. He wanted to save people from themselves, from their sin, to save them from the fires of hell, frankly. But the second thing I want us to see about Jesus' mission is that Jesus was focused on his mission. He was very clear about his mission, what his mission was. He was very clear about how he was going to spend his days while he was on this planet. Early in Jesus' ministry, after he just spent a few days in Capernaum, and he healed a bunch of people there, he slipped off by himself to pray. And Mark tells us this in chapter 1, verses 36 to 38. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I've come." Focus. He knew why he was on this planet. He came to seek and to save what was lost. You know, he was focused on the mission. He didn't think, "Oh, shoot, I really wanted to go to those other villages, but these people want me, so I guess I'll stay here." Or on another occasion, he didn't think, "Gee, I probably ought to tell all these people about the kingdom of God, but I am really hungry." No, instead, he was exhausted, and he was starving, and he was like, "Oh, look, hundreds of people who need to know the truth. Guess I'll eat later. Excuse me, let me heal some people and tell you about the kingdom of God." That's focus. He was focused on his mission. It's crucial that we also stay focused on our mission. That we stay focused on saving the world. After all, it's the most important mission in human history. We're talking about people's souls here. We're talking about forever. Focusing on that makes us effective at doing that. But focus also brings us freedom. First, focusing on our mission brings us freedom from distraction. Imagine you're a plumber, Mark O'Connor. He doesn't have to imagine it. Imagine you're a plumber working on some guy's faucet. And the homeowner says, hey, while you're at it, could you take a look at the garage door? It's not really working right. And, you know what? I'm thinking about getting some new windows. What kind should I get? And my car is making this strange squeaking noise. You think the house needs a new roof? Right about then, as a plumber, you're probably pretty happy that you have a clear mission. Sorry, sir. I'm just here to do the plumbing. Your mission gives you freedom. The poor schmuck may really need a new roof and a garage door and windows and all that kind of mess, but you have a mission. That's not my mission. Sorry. Send me some plumbing jobs and I'll take care of that. But you've got other customers to take care of, a family to go home to. So that really frees you up from that distraction. But it's so easy to get distracted, isn't it? And to lose our focus on our mission. Our mission gets lost in all the other stuff that's filling our lives. In The Incredibles, Bob Parr's life became filled with insurance files and commute traffic. Our lives get filled with schoolwork, homework, yard work, work. We fill our lives sometimes with wonderful, worthy causes, fitness, political causes, whatever. But even if they're wonderful and even if they're worthy, they're not our mission. If Mr. Incredible can't save a guy from getting mugged because he's in a stupid meeting with his boss, then the stupid meeting with his boss is getting in the way of his mission. And if I can't talk to my neighbor and listen to him about his dying mom because I got to get my stupid yard work done, my stupid yard work is getting in the way of my mission. It's distracting me from a conversation that could open the door to sharing Christ with that neighbor, that could change my neighbor's forever, could change his dying mom's forever, could change his whole family's forever. Again, those are the stakes we're talking about. Like Jesus, we need to stay focused on that and not get distracted by all the stuff that's so unimportant in comparison. And I can think of a million reasons why it's so important that my yard work has to get done today because it's going to rain tomorrow or whatever it is, you know. So staying focused on our mission frees us from distraction. It also frees us, I think, from embarrassment. I mean, admit it. We often feel a little bit embarrassed about our mission, don't we? Sometimes maybe we even feel a little ashamed of it. We feel silly, or at least like people will think we're silly. So sometimes we try to hide our mission. We don't really talk about Jesus, or if we dare to talk about Jesus, we act like we're breaking the rules, like we're getting away with something. And I can't tell you how many times over the years in working in the secular workplace, I would have fellow believers walk up to my desk and speak in hushed tones. I was praying on the way into work today. Or whatever it is, you know. We don't need to be ashamed of our mission, of who we are. We're superheroes. Being ashamed of our mission or embarrassed about our mission is very damaging. It's damaging for at least two reasons. First reason's obvious. It means we don't share Christ. We don't talk about Jesus. We avoid saving people. We avoid saving the world. A second reason I think that being ashamed of our mission can be really damaging is it can actually drive people away from Christ. When we're embarrassed or ashamed of our mission, we hold in our true identity, our true passion. And sometimes we hold it in for so long that we begin to simmer with resentment. I know I've had this happen. When we finally let it out, we burst forth inappropriately and are far more likely to hurt people than to help them. Bob Parr, again, working there at InsuraCare. Now, how many people here have not seen The Incredibles? Okay. Well, Bob Parr is a superhero. Anyway, he's working in an insurance company, hiding his true identity. And when he's working there at InsuraCare, and he finally gets a chance to show his boss that he's a super, but not in a way that did anybody any good. No one was saved. No one was grateful. Everyone was angry, and his boss was in traction. Right? And we often act exactly the same way with the unsaved people in our lives, our coworkers, our classmates, our neighbors. I mean, sometimes we love them, but we hide our powers not letting anyone know that we're filled with God's Spirit, not letting anyone see that our lives have been transformed and that theirs can be too. We listen to them talk about their self-centered lifestyles, and we know they need to be rescued from themselves. But we stay silent, not wanting to offend them or offend the status quo or whatever it is. But inside, we start simmering. If you could only see that God is really real, if she only knew that sin leads to death, we simmer until sometimes we finally burst. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You know? Or sometimes we finally burst forth with something that has almost nothing to do with our mission. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You know? Or whatever it is, you know? And those kinds of outbursts are probably just about as effective as Bob Parr's grabbing his boss and throwing him through the wall was. Nobody gets saved, somebody gets hurt, and there's a huge mess that someone has to clean up. But that's what happens when our faith in Christ becomes our secret identity. Our identity is very clear. We're sinners saved by God's grace, the same grace that can save the world. There's no need to keep that secret. To quote Mr. Incredible, our powers are nothing to be ashamed of. Or as Mrs. Incredible, Elastigirl, told Dash and Violet in the cave there on the island when things were so dangerous, she said, "Your identity is your most valuable possession." And that's the way it is with us. Use your identity. Show yourself. Just be yourself. As you reveal yourself, your coworkers, your classmates, your neighbors, they'll begin to see who you really are. That was a good-looking super suit, Mr. Incredible, that, wasn't it? That's pretty cool-looking. But as they see who you really are, they see who you aren't. You're not church lady with a bunch of do's and don'ts. You're a real person who's really been transformed by God's amazing grace. When you reveal your true identity to the people in your life, they'll see, some of them maybe for the first time, what a real Christian really looks like. And maybe for the first time, they'll feel comfortable enough to talk about it, to maybe even ask you about it. When we're focused on our mission, constantly reminding ourselves of the eternal importance of our mission, we're less likely to be ashamed of our mission. So being focused on our mission brings us freedom from distraction, freedom from embarrassment. It also brings us freedom from fear. Mr. Incredible is a perfect example of this. When he's truly focused on his mission, when he allows himself to be Mr. Incredible, he fears nothing. Shut it down, do it quickly, don't destroy it. I love that. I love the way he says that. And get some eggs on the way home. You know, no big deal. He's so nonchalant. He's so confident. He knows he can handle this Omnidroid thing. He's a super. Like he says a couple times in the middle in the movie. What could happen? We're supers. There can be danger in the life of a Christ follower. Even though we happen to live in an incredibly Christian-friendly society, there can be risks. Being bold about our mission does carry some risks. We can lose friends. In some cases, we can lose our jobs, maybe. We can lose family. You could possibly end up in a part of the world where Christians suffer serious persecution for their faith, or some of them are killed for it. There are real risks, but I believe that staying focused on our mission helps us to see the risks in light of the reward. As an investment broker, we call it the risk-reward ratio. Take a look. Well, first of all, the risks, of course, can be painful. Sometimes very, very, very painful, but they're temporary. The reward is eternal. Again, rescuing people from the ravages of sin and pointing them toward a forever with Christ. That outweighs any risk here on earth. Take a look at how the world's first Christian superheroes managed the risks and rewards. Not long after Jesus ascended into heaven, all his apostles, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Matthew, all those guys, they started preaching the gospel that Jesus is the Christ incredibly boldly in the temple courts in Jerusalem. Well, the rulers of the temple, the Jewish leaders, weren't too thrilled about that. And Acts 5:40 through 42 tells us, they called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they'd been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Risk, a lot of physical pain, being flogged, was not a day in the park. But it was a lot of physical pain for now. Reward, saving the world. And changing the world forever. I mean, these guys transformed human history because they stayed focused on their mission. They overcame their fear. They blew off embarrassment. And they didn't get distracted. But the apostles, I want to see another thing in this verse here. They also had a reward here on earth. They left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. There is tremendous joy in living out our mission and going out and saving the world. The Incredibles. There's a great scene in this movie. After years of suppressing their superpowers, were absolutely ecstatic once they got a chance to use their powers for their intended purpose. That is so awesome. That was the best vacation ever! That is just so great. I mean, and I believe that's the kind of joy God wants us to have. And we can have it if we just use our superpowers for their intended purpose. I'm going to perhaps embarrass someone who's in the room right now, but he said it's okay. Shoot, I'm going to try this without crying. Richard Lunkarevich had that joy on Christmas Eve. He was at the chapel over at the truck stop. He was wrapping up the end of the day, had turned off the lights, locked the door, walking down the stairs to go home and spend Christmas with his family. One last trucker showed up, walked up to him, came to talk. And Richard later admitted to Jeff and me that at first he was frustrated that he had to stay late that night. He didn't get to go home and spend Christmas with his family. But he ended up leading that man to Christ. Richard says that was his best Christmas ever. Some reward, huh? Your best Christmas ever. Sorry. So, go and do likewise. Easier said than done, right? I mean, it's easy for me to stand here and say, come on, you guys, just stay focused on your mission. Don't get distracted. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid. A little bit harder to tell you how to do that and make it real in your life, or to show you what that looks like when the rubber meets the road. When it comes down to it, we're talking about a complete lifestyle change. Transforming the way you live, and especially transforming the way you interact with non-Christians. The non-Christians in your life. Sounds like a pretty big stinking deal, doesn't it? Well, it is. I mean, frankly, most of us are pretty terrified when we think about sharing our faith with non-Christians. Especially the non-Christians we know we're going to see tomorrow. The ones we work with or live next door to. And even if we can somehow get past the distractions, the embarrassment, and the fear, a lot of times we run up against another hurdle. We feel like we're not equipped. You know, I don't know the Bible well enough, or I don't know the right evangelism tools. Well, I think I've discovered a different kind of tool to help us transform the way we live, to help us truly live our mission, to save the world, one neighborhood at a time, one person at a time. I want to look back to this morning to where I started when I wanted us to see two things about Jesus' mission. The second thing was that he was focused on his mission. And he stayed focused. And that's what we've been talking about. But the first thing I wanted us to see about Jesus' mission was that it was about people. And I think that may be the key to putting all this into practice. After all, saving the world is about saving people. Pointing people toward Christ, introducing them to Christ, and hopefully watching them become transformed by Christ. I think this tool I'm talking about can be summed up in five simple words. Just walk across the room. You don't need to memorize four spiritual laws or seven special steps or 16 sumptuous scriptures or whatever it might be. You just need to walk across the room and share your life with the people God's placed in your life. Share what God's done in your life. You don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to know what's wrong with what Mormons believe or Muslims or Jehovah's Witnesses or anything like that. All we have to know is what Jesus has done in our own lives. I love the story in John chapter 9 of the man who was born blind. After Jesus healed him, listen to how simply he told everybody about it. John 9:11, he replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed. Then I could see." A little later, the guy was asked to explain it to the religious leaders. John 9:15. "Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." And then later, after the Pharisees got all uptight about Jesus healing someone on the Sabbath, they were convinced that Jesus was a bad guy. And so they asked this guy to explain himself again. John 9:24. "A second time they summoned the man who'd been blind. 'Give glory to God,' they said. 'We know this man is a sinner.' He replied, 'Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see.'" The guy didn't talk about what he doesn't know about, what he doesn't know. He just told him what he did know. "I was blind, but now I see." There's a lot we don't know. There's always going to be a lot we don't know. All that matters is what we do know. Jesus has changed your life. So share your life. As most of you know, we are starting these small group studies, these walk across the room studies based on Bill Hybels' book of that title. They start May 21st, and if you guys haven't signed up, I encourage you, I urge you to sign up and get into one of these small groups. And I truly believe that as we do, the bunch of us sitting in this room really can transform our neighborhoods. As we just walk across the room and get to know our neighbors and our coworkers, as we accept them and discover their stories, they'll open up and they'll want to learn our stories. As we share those stories, the life-changing stories of how Jesus rescued us, they'll actually listen. They'll listen because they won't feel judged or preached at. They'll listen because they know we care about them. We care about them as people, not projects. Then you'll care even more when you watch God transform them, when you watch him save them for eternity. Then you'll want to save even more. Then you'll be like Dash, "When can we do it again?" I love at the beginning of the movie, Mr. Incredible just keeps on going, "Here's a police scanner. I've still got time. I can do more of this." I'd love to see us all be that fired up. That's what I call a super mission. Mr. Incredible had a super mission, but he spent years suppressing it. Many of us have spent years suppressing our mission. Mr. Incredible resumed hero work the day he got fired after throwing his boss through the wall. And he resumed hero work partially because he got fired from his job, but mostly because he was inspired by the greatness of his mission. That's how I hope you will leave here today. Motivated moved, inspired by the great things you can do. God wants to use you to save the world. So put on that super suit. Use those superpowers and get out there. Let's roll. And let's pray. Almighty God, you are so much more powerful than we will ever know. And yet you've filled us with your Holy Spirit. You've equipped us. And you've given us the most important, most super mission ever. And we know, God, you want us to have the best vacation ever and the best Christmas ever and the best Friday ever. You want us to save the world. God, please give us boldness. Please help us to stay focused. Please be glorified in each and every one of us. And Lord, please help us to see our own specific powers and how we can use them to build one another up. The incredible teamwork that the Incredibles showed at the end of that movie is the same kind of teamwork we can be showing as we encourage and help one another to transform our neighborhoods and transform Sacramento. We thank you for this weekend. We just worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.